This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. Not this is my suggestion. Not this is my recommendation. Not this is my opinion. Not this is my wish. Not this is my desire. This is my commandment. This is my order. This is what I require. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Now, I can think of a whole lot of commandments that I, frankly, would much rather hear. This is my commandment, that you're nice to each other. This is my commandment, that you make real good food for your pastor to eat. This is my commandment, that you don't use dirty language, and don't speed on the road, and don't cheat each other in your daily business affairs. This is my commandment, that you don't lie. I mean, you could just pull out the Ten Commandments right here and use each one of those. I would much rather hear those commandments than this one. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Because you see, while we might think we can approximate the other commandments, the Ten Commandments, while we think we might be able to overcome the seven deadly sins that are listed in the Psalms, while we think we might be able to overcome many of those do's and don'ts that the Bible lays down, especially in the Old Testament, this commandment from Jesus, while on its surface being deceptively simple, is really very difficult. And here's why. People are sometimes very hard to love. Just think about who it is who's saying this. This is my commandment, that you love one another. This is being said by Jesus, who would be crucified, who would be denied by the people he's speaking to. They would deny him and abandon him and run away. And yet he's telling them to love one another as I have loved you. People are not easy to love. Some people are very hard to love. Good, thank you. I needed an amen there. I find it exceedingly difficult to love some people. You can't even like them, how are you going to love them? That's a good question, Jerry. Like my brother, for instance. For some reason, I love my brother. But there are times when I want to grab him by the neck and shake him and say, act your age! You're older than me! Behave! Some people are hard to love. Some people don't want to be loved. Some people want to keep you at arm's length and have nothing to do with you, and they don't want you to love them. It can be so difficult sometimes to love some people because they push you and me away. Some people don't want to be loved. Some people would rather wallow in a pool of self-pity. Some people would rather have it rain on their parade rather than be loved by someone else. I don't know if I've told this story before here. I was pastor down in Oak Cliff at Cockrell Hill, and I had to go to the conference offices, which are on the other side of Dallas in Richardson. And I had to go on a Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Now, if you know anything about Dallas traffic, you know that's the worst time and the worst direction to be going at that time of the day. But I needed to cross downtown to get to this meeting at the conference offices. And to add insult to injury, it was also raining. So I was leaving a few minutes early thinking that would get me there. And as I got out on the road, I discovered that it was raining really hard, like it was yesterday here. Except it wasn't hailing and there were no tornadoes. It was just raining really hard. So hard, in fact, that you couldn't see two car lengths ahead of you. It was coming down so hard, and it was creating this flash flood condition. On the radio, they were telling all the various intersections that were closed due to flash floods. And I said, I ain't going to get there. So I decided to maneuver my way through town after stopping at the church for a few minutes. I maneuvered my way through town on the side roads, trying to find my way through the center of Dallas to get to the conference offices in Richardson. I knew I was going to be late, but I figured, heck, the bishop will probably be late too, so it'll be all right. That was when he lived in Lake Highlands. And so I was worming my way through Dallas, and I was on Maple, and I was coming up on the underpass where Maple goes underneath the toll road. And I knew this would probably be a problem because there's not adequate drainage under that underpass. And as I came upon it, I saw that indeed it had flooded. And this Lincoln Continental had gone in, and the water came up to the window, completely flooded. And another car had gone in, a Honda had gone in behind, and the water came up to about a quarter of the way to half the way up the car. And that man was standing outside, yelling at the woman in the car in front of him, who was already under the underpass where the water was shooting off the toll road and down onto the into the underpass. And I saw this door slowly inch open and this woman get out, gripping onto the edge of the car as she pulled herself along the side of the car to get around to where the trunk was. And there were still several feet between her and the other guy. And so I got out of my car. It was raining again. And I waded out into the water in my new slacks and shoes, and took a hold of the guy who was hanging on to his car. And we inched to the front of his car, and then I inched out into the middle of the water and reached out and got the woman's hand. And then pulled her back over, and then we got ourselves back onto somewhat dry land. And standing there with the rain coming down, wet up to my underwear, and feeling icky, this woman cursed me up one side and down the other, cursed God, cursed the weather, cursed her car, cursed her work, and then she saw the clergy bumper sticker on my car. And then she looked at me and she said, "You did this to me! Your God made it rain and ruined my car." Only she used language that I would never say in church. And I kind of just stood there and looked at her as she ranted and raved and turned around and marched off angry and turned back around and shook her fist at me. And I got in my car, leaving her out in the rain, grabbed my cell phone, dialed 911, let them know where the flood was, hung up and looked at her for a few more minutes, standing there next to the other poor guy who looked very embarrassed. I put my car in reverse and drove off. Angry. Oh, I was angry. I was angry because here I'd done a good deed for someone I didn't know and would never know again. And she had cursed me vilely, and especially when she found out who and what I was. And I was upset. I mean, I was mad. And I knew I wasn't going to the meeting now because I'm not going to go sit in the conference office with wet underwear, shoes and socks, and slacks, wool slacks that are going to be tightening up on me. Oh. So I turned around and went home, mad. Banging on, have you ever done this? You just bang on your wheel out of frustration and hope and pray the airbag don't go off. And then I rounded a corner and drove by a church that had a sign out front. And it's a sign I'd seen many times, but I really hadn't paid much attention to it until today. It's a little trite saying, but it's true. The sign said, "Smile, For God loves even you. And I went from being angry, snap of your fingers, to crying. Because I had gotten angry and crying for the woman who had been in such distress that she would use horrific language at me and at God and at the world. And thanking God, thanking Him deeply that He truly did love me, even me. The good news of the gospel today is that no matter what we have done, the good news of the gospel this Easter season is that no matter what we have done, God loves us. There is nothing that you can do, not a thing, that will cause God not to love you. God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. That's the gospel. It's as simple as that. And nothing you can do can change that. And because God loved you and sent His Son to die for you, we have a commandment. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest of the commandments? And He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But He didn't stop there. He then added, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there's the root of our problem. So frequently, we don't know how to love ourselves. And therefore, we don't believe God could possibly love us. And therefore, we don't want other people to love us, because there must be something wrong with those weird people if they love me. How can I possibly be loved? I know how horrible I am inside. So I can't accept love from Jerry. You know, sometimes our love for others means that we have to give them the space that they need to discover how much God loves them. We are called to love one another. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, which means, my friends, my brothers and sisters, that we must learn that God loves us, therefore we should love ourselves as well. This is not narcissism, my friends. We're not called to lavish all sorts of things on ourselves. We're supposed to realize that we are special in God's eyes. God loved us. And we should accept that love and learn to have that same love for ourselves. Why? So that we can turn it outwards and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's the calling that we have as Christians when Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. He also said, you know, no man hath any greater love than this, that he gives up his life for his friends, that he gives up his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He gave up his life for you and me to express the love of God for us. We are called to love one another as a response to the gospel message. To live out the gospel message in our lives, we are called to love one another. As we come quickly towards the close of this Easter season, and as we prepare in a couple of weeks for Pentecost, let us truly recognize that we, as a forgiven people, as a resurrected people, are called to love one another with the love that God loves us. We're called to love one another. And in doing that, we fulfill all the commandments. Because love does not hate. It does not envy. It does not lie. It does not kill. It does not steal. It does not bear false witness. It does not covet. It does not blaspheme. Love gives all. And we are called to give that unmerited, unending love of God to all that we meet. Let us obey this commandment, even with people who aren't very lovable. Let us reach out in love. Respect their desire and need for space, but continue to express the love of God to all we meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to page 50 in your hymnals. And do this now instead of after the offering, as a response to the word. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
Amen.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
Amen.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
Amen.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Remember your baptisms and be thankful. Remember your baptisms. And be thankful.
Amen.
Remember your baptisms 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 and be thankful.
Amen.